pray now. Father Yah, we bless you as we present ourselves to you for another training school. We just ask you to give us understanding on tonight and just lead us and guide us in all truth. And we praise you for everything that you do for us in advance. And we just thank you for your spirit that gives us wisdom and understanding. In the wonderful name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Just a brief sidetrack from the lesson on tonight to prepare us for the lesson coming up this Sabbath. You know, we're talking about the church.
What was the title that we gave up in? Do you remember?
True understanding of the church.
No, the assembly of the church.
No, it's true understanding of the church. I think that's what we
need to go. Okay, yeah. Well, I can't remember which one. It's true understanding of the church. Okay, but y'all, some things, and I'm trying my best. I ain't want to deal with tonight. Y'all was like, no, don't get in. Because when I understand something, I want to give it to y'all. I don't like holding anything that I understand. You know, I can't hold good news, so I like to get it. And so, man, I want to discuss this so bad, it's ridiculous. But I understand today or now at this present time why y'all led us into that series of lessons. And what I'm going to be sharing with y'all these next few weeks. I kid you not, from the understanding of it, people going to come in and be like, oh, this is, and so from the understanding of it, from the understanding that y'all had given me, I kid you not, it brought me tears, man, because, you know, and I admit, I kind of, you know, I fell in that mold, that dumbfounded mold again, you know, to why I fall down. I think, y'all, well, why you choose me to see this like this, you know? But then I gather myself and I understand why, but I did, man. It jacked me up. And so it's hard for me to hold information, but I will be sharing it. I don't know how soon I'll share this here, but I may just kind of jump out there and share it just you're going to be losing everywhere. I don't think I can wait next week to get there to share.
So
He ain't opening the refrigerator yet, so keep it closed. Yeah, huh?
He ain't opening the refrigerator yet.
He ain't opening it, but it's oozing all out. He got it closed, but it's oozing all out. I'm telling you, boy, it's leaking bad. You know, and so, but I kid you not, y'all, what I'll be sharing with y'all these next few Sabbath services is, it's awesome, and that's all I can say right now. It's just awesome from how Yah, I'm gonna say it like I just heard him say it in my spirit, how Yah had the nerve enough to put it together. How he put it together is, you know, if you think we got revelation behind dealing with things in the Old Testament, oh, you wait till we build this stuff here about the understanding. What is going to get out of the name? The true understanding of the church. And that was the true understanding of the church. We're going to see the church. We're going to understand our mission at the highest level. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, man. I'm like, I've never heard this talk before. I've heard it talked in certain perspectives, but I've never in my life heard it talk before. So what you'll be hearing is you don't want to miss these next few weeks. If you do, you make sure you get online and tune in, okay? Just make sure you do that. All right. But what I want to deal with on tonight is something that I had. You know, a lot of times I'll write some things and I'll post it and I'll send it, you know, through other forms of social media and things like that. And y'all have been dealing with me about this specific subject for a while, and you know, and that's when I know it's him, when he just keep bringing it up, he keep dropping the thought in my spirit, and my son-in-law and I, we were just kind of sitting in my office, and we kind of started talking about it, and I was like, okay, you know, this is what's going on, and this is what's the deal, and stuff like that, and so I want to discuss that on tonight. I want to show you what the system is doing to I want to expose what the system is doing to us as a people. The reason why I say us as a people is because of who we are. Let me just go to the scripture here, and I'll let the scripture explain what I'm about to explain. Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And instead of saying what I'm about to say, I'll just let the scripture do it, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 28. I will start at verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy Yah, the Lord thy God, Jehovah thy Yah, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Jehovah thy Yah will sit thee on high above all nations of the earth." He's speaking to the nation of Israel. He's speaking to our nation, okay? And he is confirming, Yah told me to do this here, so I have to follow instructions. He's confirming in verse 1 what he said in Deuteronomy 19. So let's just go there and look at it, okay, to show you that he is speaking to the nation of Israel. Because in dealing with the church, how the church has made doctrines out of the word instead of teaching the word from Yah's perspective, they have taken it from their perspective and have made doctrines out of it. So they'll go to Deuteronomy 28 and they'll say, "This is the church." Well, let's let the Bible tell us who Deuteronomy 28 is referring to, although we go to Deuteronomy 28 and see it, but we're going to allow the precept upon precept, line upon line, commandment connecting commandment. Okay? Now, Exodus 19, verse 1 says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Yah, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." So we understand that the house of Jacob and the children of Israel are one and the same.
At first you said Deuteronomy 19, and then you went to Exodus 19.
I thought it was Deuteronomy 28.
No, he said,
"Where are
you at first?" And then he said,
"Deuteronomy
19, and then he went to Exodus 19. So,
well, you know, well, my bad. My bad. Y'all fall, man. Okay, yeah. Exodus 19.
Okay.
Now, y'all keep me straight, because my mind be running. I'm telling you, all that stuff comes together on me sometimes. So a lot of times I be like, "Man, I didn't say that." Then I listen on CD and be like, "Oh, man, I did say that." But y'all help me keep me straight. So Exodus 19, we left Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. We're going back to Exodus 19 to confirm what Yah said in Deuteronomy 28. Okay? Okay, y'all make sure y'all, you know, pay attention, because like I said, stuff come together with me, and I think I'll be saying what's right, and I'll be saying something else. So we're in Exodus 19 now. We all there? Okay. Now, Exodus 19 says, the third year, verse 1. In the third year, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt.
Third month.
Huh?
The third month.
And what did I say?
Third year.
Oh, in the third month, in the third month when the children of Israel, a lot of time I'm looking, but I'm not really looking at word for word, because I'm clean down to where I'm trying to be. So again, y'all slow me down. In the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Yah, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, one and the same, half of Jacob, the children of Israel, one and the same. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Now, when you see verse 19, you now have the perversion of people naming a airplane eagle's wing to transport the sons of Jacob, who call themselves Jews and are not, to the land of Israel, and thus they are saying that this is the move of God to put the people of God back in their land. They call the plane the eagle's wing. So what is the eagle's wing? What is the eagle's wing according to Scripture now? Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. His power. That is a symbol of Yah showing his ability. Everything was based upon them taking flight with his ability. Okay? And so when you look at it and deal with that from that perspective, he's showing how I bear you on eagle wing. It's a symbol of showing his, in a nutshell, his power, okay? And brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey. Now, say, I want to remind you again. You think I'm kidding? You go check and see what these Christians are doing, and they're going to different countries paying millions to transport Jews to the land of Israel on a plane called the Eagle Wing. And they take it from this scripture right here. Okay? And they do it, they do it and say, well, see, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Wait a minute. Y'all brought us out of the land of Egypt by his power, not by the power of the airplane and man. Okay? So that's another thing. Okay, now as we move on now, verse 5, he says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, obey his voice, speaking to our nation, and keep my covenant. Keep his covenant, okay, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations. What is the covenant now? You obey my voice and keep my covenant. We may or may not deal some things as far as the covenant is concerned, because there are some things that he laid out from the perspective of the covenant. Obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. There it is. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of priests, basically, in a nutshell, means that we would be rulers, or would police nations. We would be the primary nation to show forth the glory of Yah, to call all other nations to come to Yah. That was our responsibility as a people. Okay. Then it says, verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, as you see, verse 7 through around 9, 10 or so, let's just read it. Verse 7 says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which Jehovah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Jehovah. Okay, so we see now God makes this agreement with us. He's establishing a covenant with us as a nation of people, and then we are agreeing to the covenant. There's a covenant on his part. There's a covenant on our part. Our covenant agreement, in a nutshell, when you start to just look at the things that he's saying in these verses here, he said, if you obey my voice, if you keep my covenant, then I'll do this. So that's our part of the agreement. His part of the agreement is saying, I will make you a nation above all nations. So if we obey the covenant and obey his voice, then we become a nation above all nations based upon the agreement that he made with our nation. So now when you get over into Deuteronomy chapter 28, you'll see now where he confirms this covenant with our people. He confirmed this covenant with our people based upon what he initially said in Exodus chapter 19. And you can read some things after that, where you go into chapter 20, he's dealing with the commandments and so on and so forth. He's going on and so forth with the covenant and the commandments and all these different things. Now, as you look in verse 1, he's saying in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently, same thing, unto what? The voice of the Lord thy Yah, and to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee. This is our covenant agreement. We made the agreement in Exodus 19. Now we're getting a clearer understanding of what our agreement is. We obey his voice and his commandments. This is what he do for us as far as the league. The covenant is a league. We're going to make an agreement, a league between Yah. We are the only nation on the planet who has a personal league with the Most High Yah. They have a league with it. Now, as we move on, he says again, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy Yah to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that Jehovah thy Yah will sit thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy Yah. Blessed shall I be in the city, blessed shall I be in the field. You read Deuteronomy verse 1, verse 1 through 14, verse 1 verse 1 through 13, verse 1 through 14, I'll say that. But I want to get to verse 14. You can read the other ones because these are things that he has said to us as far as our covenant is concerned. And I want us to understand, I wanted to set this up for us to understand what I was about to say earlier. Okay, what I was about to say was this. There are things that's being done by the system because the system wants Israel to follow. Because the system know that if Israel follows, all other nations will follow. Did y'all hear what I said? Why? Because we are the nation that has been ordained by Yah to police the nation. So we either do it from a godly perspective or an ungodly perspective. We drop our pants, the nations drop their pants. We rap certain music. The nations rap certain music. They listen to it. They follow whatever type of way we dress, the way we do our hair, all these things. You start to name things. You know, I even had an individual that said, that pointed out this, was like, if you notice when it comes down to even reality shows, the individual was like, nobody really, these reality shows doesn't draw a lot of interest when they're reality shows from other nations. People are interested to watch our foolishness. We're entertaining. We're more. In other words, if you take, for instance, basketball wise, women that come across as having a lot of money and all these different things, they are more interesting than to watch, say, for instance, European wives who are really rich. People don't have interest in that. And so a lot of these things, if you notice, that when it happens, it's like when we as a nation of people start to have interest in these things, that's when other nations start to have interest in these things. So what we are and what we do, it is a divine order by God where he said, you will be the head. We the head in foolishness. Because we can't be the head in righteousness. So anything that won't foolishness, they don't watch up. That's why you see other nations of kids walking down the street with their pants hanging and sagging, just like the same way they see Israelites walking down the street with their pants sagging. Because whatever trend we take on, all other nations will follow all over the world. Like, I'm kidding. Go do some research. Everybody is watching. Everybody's watching the tribe of Israel. Judah first. Everybody's watching Judah. And so as the nation of Israel starts to do all these things, everybody takes that trend. So the system understands this. So what the system has started to do is to have these different types of apps on your phone where you can turn yourself into these different types of things. Different types of things. Why? 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 Why would they put that on the phone? Why? Okay? Well, one particular thing that y'all started to deal with me on is every time I would see people post social media in one fast another, these pictures with this reed, some were always coming from my spirit, and I kept saying, man, y'all, why you keep tugging on me about this here? What is it about this here? And I'm noticing as Israelites start to do this more and start to show this more in social media, it takes on as a trend, and you start to see more and more people doing it. So y'all said, let me show you what this is. And I'm going to show you not only what it is, but I'm going to show you that the same goddess is in the scripture. Our nation worshiped it even in the church day. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Okay? So what we'll do, I'm going to show you this first, and then I'm going to read the scripture, and then we'll go into these things and look at it so that we'll understand. Ask yourself this question. Why is it that the system? What is it that the system is doing when they give us access to these things? That when you really sit down and think about it, it don't make no sense to you. What is the deal about this flower, this photo, where people put it on Facebook? What's so special about it? Think about it. Think. What is it? What is the purpose of it? Where did it come from? Where did the idea come from? Why is it being done? Why is it so important for them to put it on everybody's phone, pretty much, and have it where you can access it and do it and show yourself around, you know, to the world? Why? Everything has purpose. And if you can't answer, if you can't come to a legitimate reason of why it's there, then you better check with Yah before you do there. I did say do there. Or go there. If you cannot make sense of it, you always ask yourself, what is this that the world is doing? And what benefit is this? Why is this this way? Why is everybody taking on through that trend? Why do everybody do ice bucket challenges? Why do everybody do this? Why do everybody push these different things? When we start to perceive things through the eyes of Yah, we'll start to see the perversion that's associated with these things that's coming across like it's just some good innocent gesture and gesture. And we don't realize that all the system is really doing is setting us up to all operate. It's kind of like this. If I can get you to do little things, then I can talk you into doing big things. Be careful when everybody's jumping on something. The system is picking something out there to draw us in. Everything has purpose. You got to remember that. And so before we launch out into something, we need to start, like how my father-in-law said, sometimes you have to step back and look at the work, see what sort it is. See what I'm saying? And so even just to use my daughter for example, you know, there are a lot of times, you know, my youngest, she would play with me, be like, here, daddy, and she started showing me this stuff, and they'd be trying to turn her face into this and stuff like that, and I'd be constantly pushing the phone away saying, go, because it was something that wasn't feeling right in my spirit behind what was going on, although it appeared to be innocent. Y'all have to lead us in all things, and we have to be that sensitive enough to the spirit of Yah to know that there's something that's going on in these apps and these things like that the system is setting up for what appears to be entertainment with us, but it's programmed. It's programmed. You start looking like an animal, you're going to think like one after a while. So let me bait you by getting you to look like a dog with your tongue sticking out. And after a while, you're going to be acting like a dog with your tongue sticking out. I'm just as a system leading you into something so I can bring you into something bigger. But it's fun, though. Everything has purpose. So I'm letting you know how I would think if I was wanting to lead you in something perverted, then I'll start you out with smaller things and eventually, oh, okay, they wasn't to look like a dog for me. If they wasn't to act like a dog for me. Okay, now, as we look at this, Deuteronomy 28, verse 14 says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand, or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, a person may be saying, man, I serve no other Yah. I've changed that. I wouldn't serve no other God. There's only one Yah. I wouldn't serve no other God. Each one of us would look at verse 14 and be like, man, I'm not worried about that. What does the word serve mean? Let's see what the word serve. When you look at the word serve, the bot, it means to enslave, keep in bondage.
Through the works.
Huh?
Through the works.
Through the do the works. So if I am enslaved to it, I'm willing to do the works of it. So a person may say, man, I don't serve other gods, but yet we put the Christmas tree. You know, we all used to do it. We used to operate in ignorance. I don't serve other gods, God said, but yep, you do the works of it, though. Jeremiah 10 talks about it, and so people be like, yeah, but I don't serve other gods. Y'all say, yeah, but you do the, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, but you do the works of it. You are enslaved to the works of the dark. So y'all said, let's back up and look at the verse now, since we've gotten an understanding of the word serve. Now, look at verse 14 again. It says, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. What would that imply? If y'all said don't go to the right or to the left, what does that imply?
Straight.
No room for error. Y'all said no. Not a little bit. I don't even want you to take a little side step. Don't lean to the right. Don't even lean. Don't even go to the right hand. Don't even go to the left hand. Don't go in any area of the way to serve those other gods. So anything that I do work for, as my daughter said, anything that I do work for, y'all say you turn there. So let's look at the flower around the head, see what people are turning to, because as our nation now do these things, it becomes a trend. And the system knows that we can keep Israel ignorant. Then Israel is going to continue to serve them other gods, and they can never rise up as a nation. Well, we know y'all going to straighten us out, because he raising up some remnant to be able to see the truth and to put the truth out there so the truth can be understood and so that the remnant can line up with that truth. Now, let's look at this now. Since we've got an understanding of words, I'm just pulling this up here. And this is a picture. So you may have to help me here. I don't know if I can make it any bigger.
Can you see it?
So as we see this here, what does that look like? Look at it. Now a person will look at this and be like, okay, oh, this is a bunch of flowers and a lady, you know, she's cute. But look at the thing going around her head. Yah said, don't turn to the right or to the left. This symbol here is called flora. This symbol here is called flora, and this is in a nutshell. As a matter of fact, if I go out of this, okay. Can I enlarge this part here?
Before.
Right here. Can you get
the light?
Right here.
No, go back.
All right. Okay. Now look.
That may be irrelevant.
Can I move it over a little bit? Okay, good. Now, look at what this says about this now. It says a symbol, first of all. A symbol, symbols, and goddesses. Flora, Roman myth. Goddess of flowers and the season of spring, a symbol. So when this reed is put around our heads, I like to say ours because to keep our, I've never done it, but I like to say it because to keep me balanced. When this reed is put around our heads, then what we are now doing is symbolizing something from a perspective of a goddess that we're operating in ignorance on. Why would we have to wear a flower around our head in all our pictures and our Facebook posts and all this here? What is this? What's the big deal about the flower? There it is. She is a Roman goddess. She is idolatry. And so every time we wear those symbols, then what we are doing is turning to the right or to the left. And Yah is saying, nothing.
But I didn't say nothing.
Wake up, Israel.
Good. I got a question.
Go ahead, son.
I don't know the answer, but I'm
that's okay, Ash. We'll figure it out.
So, how do you know? I'm pretty sure this kind of stuff is pervasive throughout all the cultures, a whole lot of stuff that goes down this road. So, how do you know what is and what ain't?
I put it this way. If we can't answer why it is, then we might ought to pay attention to why it is. In other words, it's a whole lot of stuff. Nike shoe, that little. If we can't pay attention to why it is, then we all want to look at it to see what it is. That Nike symbol. Okay, and so as
I'm saying it's pervasive.
It is. And so what I'm saying from this perspective, you have to realize, we have to realize that this whole system is designed to rebel against Yah. We live in a system. It's difficult. It's difficult. Thank you, Yah. I extended answer. It is difficult to be use evasive, right?
Pervasive.
It is difficult to be. Now you talk pervasive as far as.
Pervasive means it's like in everything.
Right. Okay. I say evasive. It's difficult to be evasive when things are pervasive. It's pervasive. It's in everything. So it's difficult to be evasive. And so when Yah starts to deal with us about specific things, that's when it's time to be evasive. Go ahead.
Why we have to jump on the bandwagon when we think everything is cute? I hear that word so much. Oh, that's cute. But
that's,
we don't know the meaning behind
it. We don't know the meaning behind a lot of things.
We are so quick to jump on the bandwagon.
Yes. And that is a good point, Ella. Everything is pervasive. I mean, these systems are out there, and everything is designed for us to rebel against the Most High Yah. But when Yah starts to deal with us, we have to deal with these things. Oh, thank you, Yah. I'm glad you said that, Elder. See, here's the difference. Some things, it is so pervasive that we don't have a choice. That you have the ability to choose on, then that's what Yah holds us accountable for. See, because we're in captivity, they may make us come in and work on the Sabbath. See what I'm saying? Because we're in certain things, we may be forced to do certain things. And it'll come a day we have to make some choices about a lot of things here in the near future. But I'm just saying things as Yah lead me to say them. And so because this system is everywhere and is designed to be keep us separated from Yah everywhere, then it's very difficult. It's very difficult to to avoid certain things, even in how they prepare the meats and things like that. Although we eat clean meat, at least we try our best effort to do that. Even clean meat is perverted because of how they prepare it and things like that. Everything is how they kill it. We're not supposed to kill animals with stress and different things like that. And so it's vitally important. So the best way to deal with all of this stuff that's pervasive is to position ourselves to allow Yah to lead us on what He wants to get us away from. And because He's been constantly dealing with me about this symbol, it is time for us to be aware of what's going on. It is something that is very offensive to Yah. He has been on me. I kept saying, man, why is put the deal on these flowers, man? Now let me show you her in Scripture.
Yes,
okay. Let me show you who she is in Scripture. Her name is Diana. Okay. Her name is Diana. We'll find her in Acts chapter 19. We'll start at verse 21. Now look at what it says about Flora first. We'll pull it back up. It says Flora, Roman myth. So this is Rome. Okay? It's Rome. Look what Paul is. Acts 19, verse 21. It says, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in his spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. I think I'm saying it right. Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, Flora. Okay? For Diana. He made silver shrines for Diana. Brought no small gain unto the crafty. Okay? Go ahead.
Diana is the Greek name for the same goddess.
Right. Correct. In other words, she's the Greek name for Flora.
Correct? Right.
Right. She's the Greek name for Flora. So I want to tie, and that's why when you get here, it shows you. I'm thinking, or I'm gonna say at this point, it shows you that it's a Roman myth, but the Greeks use it.
It's written. This New Testament is
written in Greek. Right.
So the Greek name for her is Diana,
but it's really Flora.
Same name.
I'm glad we're pulling this together. So keep doing it as I'm doing it here, because it adds to it. It gives us better. It gives us even clearer understanding. Now, so as you look at this, Flora and Diana is one and the same. Diana is the Greek name for Flora. Flora is the Roman name. Is that correct? Flora is the Roman name. Diana is the Greek name, but it's the same God with the flower. This is her. We're looking at her. Okay, now, as we deal with this now, verse 24 says, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrine for Diana, or Flora, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of black occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. They were getting rich from it. Or at least wealth from it, riches. Verse 26, moreover ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there is, but saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So, verse 27, let me move it up a little bit. verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be sent at naught, at nothing, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana or Flora should be defiled. Okay? And her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now finish. So their mindset, the system mindset is, okay, we can't get them to put flora in the houses. We'll make them work. Same right hand or to the left. Okay? Now, verse 28, and when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Ephesus. The Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having called Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord in the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, verse 30, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. They were warning Paul, don't go in there, man. They already had taken up two of the disciples. And as you read all of this, I don't want to just do it just for the sake of time. As you read all of this, they were getting ready to kill those men. But some other things happened whereas one of the men stood up. In a nutshell, you can read this, the rest of this, up on your own time, and you'll see that was a big uproar. Well, let me go to verse 35. And verse 35 said, when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, Flora, and of the images that fell down from Jupiter? You know what Jupiter is? Heaven. Okay, when you look at the meaning of Jupiter, when you look at the meaning of Jupiter, it says sky falling. It says and what is the aerolite which fell from Jupiter. Or something that fell from the heavens. And so when you look at it from Jupiter, and they're trying to say that this something fell from the actual Jupiter. Well, we know based upon Genesis chapter 1, that Jupiter is not out there. So whatever falls from the heavens, it is under the firmament. So whatever fell from the heavens, they're saying it's something that fell from Jupiter, or you're looking at idol worshippers, so they say anything that falls from there is coming from the gods.
So Jupiter is the Roman god, Zeus is the Greek name, and Jupiter is the Roman name.
Right. So they're saying these images and things like that have fell from them.
From him, basically.
Yeah, from him. Go ahead.
So that's the impression that they give.
Yeah.
It's like saying it fell from Yah, from our perspective.
Right.
They're saying it fell from Jupiter.
Like the same way the Muslims saying that black whatever thing that they walk around and kiss on and worship at their shrine that's located in, what is it, Saudi Arabia? Mecca, I think Mecca is in Saudi Arabia, there's a rock that they said fell from heaven. Same thing. It's not for the Jupiter. It's not the idolatry. They kissed that thing and loved on that thing like it's Yah himself. They said it fell from heaven. And they took it and put it in that building and they circle it and pray around it. I'm going to show you. let me see. I don't really know what to call it. I'll just put rock in Mecca. Go ahead. You have some, the black stone. That may not. Yeah, it is. This is what they circle around. That black cobblestone thing. Have you ever seen it? I'll try to pull up. Let you see that. But this is the thing that they're saying fell from heaven right here. It's right here. The Muslims circle that and they worship it. That's nothing but a Jupiter. Okay. Let's see if I can find. That thing is on one of these corners here where they circle around it, and when they circle around it, people kiss it. They kiss it and do all kinds of stuff to it. They fell from heaven. That is nothing but a form of Jupiter. Okay, so as we look at this, verse 35, he's dealing with some things. So read that on your own time when you get to Acts 19, all the way up first. Just read the whole chapter of Acts chapter 19. You see what's going on in there. But I wanted to point out to you that they have just figured out another way to get people to start worshiping Diana or Flora. One and the same God. Okay? And so these things come across as looking innocent. But in reality, there's something demonic behind these things that they're having us to do or trying to, you know, coax us into doing. Right? Now, as we come to a close, I'm gonna read Exodus chapter 20. I'm gonna read verse 1-5. And Yah spake all these words, saying, now this is Exodus 19 is when he tells us, our nation, that if you obey my voice and keep my commandments, I make you a peculiar people above all the nations of the earth. You get on to chapter 20, he's dealing with some things. He's giving us the commandments. Okay? Exodus 20, verse 1 said, Yah spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy Yah, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When you look at the word before me, it basically means in a nutshell, in my face, in my presence, beside me. Okay? And so what we have to realize that the system is having us to do is to put these our gods and symbols of these our gods beside the Most High Yah, and then we're wondering why there are things that's hindering us in life. But when he says to our nation, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth, colon, why? Thou shalt not bow thyself down to serve them. Bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I am Jehovah thy Yah, am a jealous Yah, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. We hate Yah by not obeying his commandments. And so when you go back into Acts, you look at Acts 19. You go back and Acts and look at Acts 19. These were Greeks as well as Jews, the nation of Israel, who was worshiping Diana. and Jupiter, Zeus. So you had Israelites who were doing these things, and this same stuff, here it is in 2016, our nation still is dealing with some form of idolatry, although we don't have a clue what it is. We're just in these foreign lands, and they have us serving these gods. Last thing, back to Deuteronomy 28. One of the curses of our nation for being disobedient to Yah. Deuteronomy 28, verse 36, and then we're going to close if no one has any questions. He says, Jehovah, Deuteronomy 28, verse 36, says, Jehovah shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt sit over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. We as a nation of people are in all these different religions serving these false gods. And those that even are calling themselves Christians and things like that, and are doing these other things, don't realize that they're turning to the right, to the right and to the left to serve these other gods. It is a fulfillment of the curse upon our nation that we were doing. See these other nations, God. We don't know about this stuff. When have you seen an Israelite in history walking around with flowers all around his head, stuff like that? We don't do that. And so the sisters said, we're gonna get them to start worshiping Diana again. We're gonna get everybody to start putting these wreaths of flowers around their heads and start to post them, and they make no sense whatsoever. We're gonna get people to start doing it, and they don't realize that all they're doing is symbolizing Diana. Every time they do it, Diana is being worshipped. Okay? And I just wanted to share that information with you guys, because like I said, y'all have been on me about this here for a while. The first time I saw it, I felt vexed in the spirit about it, but I didn't know why. And y'all was like, boy, you should bring this clear now. It's been happening enough. And so, that's all I have, y'all. Any questions, comments? Got something to
do? Just have a comment.
Go ahead.
They ain't saying that this is or is not the same. So, Wonder Woman, whose name is Diana, wears that same thing around her head. That's coming out next year. So, pretty soon you'll see a lot of that going forward.
That's true. And so realize these things that's happening. We have to be very alert and to understand what's going on. We have to be very aware. Allow God to always keep your spirit open for God to slide in on your spirit, your mind. Always be open mind. Let him deal with you. Okay? You're always leading God us in the truth. Alright, is that enough? Okay, that's all I have. Father, we just bless you on today. We thank you for our understanding of your word. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. And we thank you in the name of Yehoshua. We do pray. Amen.